Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Only Trolls Double Down by Rami Vance and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Jen Lee. Chapter 1. No matter how fast she drove, she was still going to be late. There were too many zombies clogging the streets. Since the horde blocked the entry into the baseball stadium's parking lot, Maine blared the muscle car's horn. It was surprisingly loud considering this was a dream. For a moment, she thought about ramming right through the zombies. This was a dream, after all, and anything was possible. But even though this wasn't real, she didn't want to ruin her father's purple muscle car. She was close enough. She didn't need the car for the rest of the way. She parked it and hopped out to the sprawling parking lot outside the baseball stadium. "Come and get me," she yelled, her dream pulse pounding as the horde closed in on her. She took a few swings at them, knocking shriveled heads and limbs off, until she was vaguely aware of a loudspeaker announcing her name from inside the stadium. She had to go. After punching a fist right through a zombie's chest and pulling out its dried-up heart, she kicked it backward and sprinted toward the stadium entryway, one hand held out in front of her like Superwoman. In real life, she had troll strength and agility since she was half-troll. Since this was a dream, it was anything goes. She forced her way through the crowd of zombies. All they could do was grab and scrape her, but she didn't feel it. The only thing on her mind was getting to home plate in time to sing the national anthem. Why was she singing the national anthem? Because it was a dream, that's why. The zombies kept flooding her path. Although she moved in that blur-like speed common in dreams, she nearly tripped as she ran over all the sprawling zombies. Finally, pushing through the entryway, she sprinted past the zombie ticket takers and the zombie concession stand workers trying to sell her rotting hot dogs. No, thanks, she shouted as she pounded up the expanse of concrete stairs leading into the stands. A zombie usher tried to stop her at the top of the stairs, and she roundhouse kicked him in the gut. Unsurprisingly, her foot sailed right through his frail torso, effectively cutting the dream zombie in two. Whoa! She watched as the zombie's top half reached for her, then plopped face first onto the floor. Done gawking, she turned and ran along the middle tier of a lower section of seats. The stadium was so huge. Also, there were no more zombies trying to stop her. Instead, they sat in the stands, playfully throwing popcorn at each other. The air smelled like beer and peanuts. A bit strange considering this was a dream, and the scents were so lifelike. Was it possible to smell in a dream? She didn't know, but she knew that she needed to be down at home plate to sing the national anthem. She glanced over the rail down to the baseball field, seeing a zombie standing at home plate, expectantly holding a microphone. Her microphone. She was about to leap over the rail when a familiar voice snagged her attention from the stands behind her. Turning, she saw her father Valkyus and her uncle Joffrey sitting together, clinking beers and smiling down at her. "Good job," her father gave her a thumbs up. Her uncle beat his chest with his fist. "You're making us proud." The sight of the two full-grown trolls made her heart swell. She'd never really gotten to know her father. She'd always thought he was an asshole until he died. Then she came back to her hometown and discovered he'd been a hero. Her uncle, who she had also thought was an asshole the first time she had confronted him, had turned out not to be a bad guy after all. Maybe trolls had a thing for being perceived as assholes. She wanted to go up into the stands and talk to them. But then she remembered that, oh yeah, she needed to sing the national anthem. After waving to her father and uncle, she gripped the rail at her side and vaulted over it to the stands below. As she ran, the zombies in the stands changed from zombies to, well, no way, she muttered in delight. It made no sense at all, even for a dream. But the zombies in the stands around her had changed into the cast of Grey's Anatomy. It was all the more surprising because she hadn't watched that show since her mom had died. It had been their favorite one to watch together. After she'd passed, it would only ruin the memories if Maine watched it, so she didn't. Strange. She hadn't thought of that show in a long time. Why was it suddenly showing up in her dream?
Warning. Leave this dream.
The voice came from inside her head. It belonged to the mantle, a demonic cloak her father had worn and had bequeathed to her. It aided her with enhanced strength and agility, provided her the weaknesses of those around her, and occasionally gave warnings of danger. Since it was a demonic item, the voice was evil. No, Maine said. Why would I want to leave? This dream just keeps getting better. Her voice trailed off as she realized the zombie standing at home plate, holding the mic, was now McDreamy, her favorite fictional character of all time.
But,
the mantle started, but Maine was already bounding down the rest of the stands to the ground floor. Since it was a dream, she glided downward, almost as if something was tugging her consciousness down there. McDreamy was even more handsome up close. Dream or not, he looked damn realistic. She reached up and touched his cheek, which prompted an eyebrow raise and a suave grin from him. Suddenly, the mic was in her hands, and McDreamy nodded for her to do her part. She turned to the crowd of attractive TV stars and started belting out the song. Maybe it was only the dream, but her voice sounded good. Better than it did in real life. Afterward, her performance earned a standing ovation from her favorite stars in the stands. With her important task done, she handed the mic back and stared up into McDreamy's eyes. Wow. Talk about swoon. She was trying to figure out her next move. This was a dream. And anything went in dreams. When McDreamy nodded, angling his head toward one of the dugouts. She didn't want to look away from him, but she did. The dream got even better. She gasped, "Mom?" There, standing hesitantly in the dugout, was her mom. Beautiful as ever, wearing a sundress and a pretty bow in her long hair. Maine hadn't dreamed of her mom since her death. To be fair, she'd dreamed of her all the time for about 6 months after she died, but after that, she guessed she'd repressed the memory or something. It was sad. Which was why now she was overwhelmed with emotion.
Weakness. Your mother. Wake up now.
I can wake up any time, she muttered. She wasn't going to leave. Not now. The mantle persisted.
Warning. Leave the dream. Wake up. Dreams are the exploration of weaknesses. It is in your dreams that you explore your most honest desires. Leave this dream now. Leave it. Now.
You're an asshole, you old rag. Maine approached her mom. The way her mother smiled made Maine feel weak in the knees. My daughter. Her mother threw open her arms and Maine fell into them. It's been so long. Too long, Maine agreed. For a dream, she sure had hyper-realistic senses. For one thing, she smelled her mother's favorite shampoo in her hair. For another, her mother's touch was so warm. So endearing. For a moment, Maine considered that the mantle might have a valid point.
that this was some dream world assassination attempt on behalf of someone wanting to claim the mantle for themselves. Still, the opportunity to see her mother again, even if only in a dream, all these years after she died, she wasn't going to look a gift horse in the mouth. Maine clutched her mother's back.
She stayed like that until it felt like too long.
Then she pulled back from her mom and met her warm smile. That was a most beautiful rendition of the anthem.
Gee, thanks.
And the way you handled yourself against those zombies on the way here, you've certainly inherited your father's strength and agility. He's in the stands, watching. Did you see him? Maine nodded.
We're all so proud of you. We miss you. I miss you too, Maine said.
Her mother gripped her hand.
How have you been?
I've been fine. I was going to graduate from the police academy, but then learned how cool it would be to live in the Vale with magic.
No offense, but human life can be mundane. Her mother chuckled.
I'm so happy for you.
What about you? Maine paused as the crowd started to chant something softly. How have you been? As soon as the words cleared her mouth, she felt like an idiot. Her mom was dead. What a dumb question to ask. Of course, she was curious about the afterlife, if there was one. Her mother ran both of her hands through her silky hair.
They have good hair products where I am.
Where are you?
Maine asked. As she waited for her mother to respond, the chant from the stands grew louder. She tried to block it out to hear her mother's response, but it had grown so loud so quickly. Maine shook her head apologetically.
Can you say that again?
She could now make out the crowd's chant.
Hi-ya! Hi-ya!
The hell? She turned away from her mother, whom she hadn't heard for the second time, and faced the crowd in the stands. The crowd of TV hotties all stood in their underwear and made odd karate-chopping motions with their arms.
Hi-ya! Hi-ya!
She glossed over the crowd of shirtless hunks and bikini babes, trying to comprehend what was going on. It was all so weird. Then a hand karate-chopped her gently on the shoulder. She turned back to her mother, who was likewise in her underwear and a bra and rhythmically hitting her. The woman's eyes were glazed over and unfocused as she joined the crowd.
Hi-ya! Hi-ya!
Mom? Mom? Can you hear me? Snap out of it. Her mother only continued to karate chop her lightly across the shoulder.
Leave. Now!
The mantle hissed. Maybe the mantle was right. She woke up. Chapter 2. When she opened her eyes, Maine had slumped over the computer desk in the troll cave. After stretching, she sat up straight, not for the first time admiring the impressively huge Batcave-esque lair around her. The secret cave hideout contained all sorts of magical equipment and gadgets that had helped her father fight mythical creature crime.
Hi-ya! Hi-ya! Hi-ya!
Wait, was she still sleeping?
She pinched herself. When nothing happened, she got up to investigate the source of the karate shout. It wasn't too hard to locate. Near the back of the troll cave, in the open area before the garage leading outside, five mythical creatures performed the same basic karate chop technique over and over again. She saw Minnie, the Minotaur mechanic, a female centaur, and three tiny butterfly fairies. They all appeared to be taking directions from the front of the room. From... Maine blinked. Knopf. The chihuahua-sized direwolf stood at attention in front of them, the key marking on his rump glowing as he yipped instructions. He'd tied a black bandana around his tiny head beneath his ears like a sensei.
Again,
he yipped.
Hi-ya! Again! Hi-ya!
She walked around the side of them toward Knopf.
Hey, Maine. So nice of you to finally join us.
She narrowed her eyes at him. Huh? What are you talking about?
Come on, partner. Get your head in the game. We were supposed to have training at 9 a.m. sharp.
The tiny direwolf mimed, glancing down at his paw for a watch.
It's 9:30.
Oh, right. She turned her attention to the group, looking them over as they stood at attention, ready to perform another chop upon command. What did I miss?
For one,
Knopf yipped,
meeting our newest bodyguard recruits.
You and I aren't enough? When Knopf saw the five karate initiates quiver in their stances, he dismissed them for a short break to talk to his partner.
The conference is going to be a lot of ground to cover for two people.
Maine watched the recruits walk over to the sidelines and sip from their water bottles. Minnie, the Minotaur's height and size looked imposing and perfect for a bodyguard, but she wasn't so sure about the others. Who's the centaur?
Oh, that's Swiftfoot.
Maine scoffed at the magical creature's on-the-point name. Let me guess, she's got swift feet? Knopf narrowed his eyes.
Good guess. Her speed and transportation skills will come in handy if trouble arises.
Turning her gaze to the three butterfly fairies, Maine said, What about them? You really think they're going to be much help if there's trouble?
What do you mean?
They're, like, half a foot tall. How are they going to be bodyguards? Knopf yipped proudly.
As I learned on our last adventure, sometimes big things come in small packages, like me.
Yeah, but...
What if there's a chase, and the bad guy holes up somewhere? Butterfly fairies can get into places we can't.
That was a fair point. Still, their small size made them much physically weaker than, say, Minnie the Minotaur. You did have them sign hold harmless liability waivers, right? Knopf yipped in irritation.
I don't think you're taking this upcoming gig of ours too seriously.
I am taking this seriously, Maine said. I forgot about the time, is all. I was having the weirdest dream.
I don't care about some dream you had. We've got that Zoom call with a client at midnight tonight. You're going to be able to make that, right?
She leaned toward him conspiratorially. You think I'd miss a date with death? I mean, the death? I still can't believe we landed him as a client.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're training so hard for this bodyguard gig. Can't let the big guy down. He might decide to, you know, cut our strings early. I still want to live for a bit longer.
Maine scratched the back of her head. It's an honor, sure. I still can't wrap my head around why Death would need a bodyguard. I mean, he's Death.
How many times I gotta tell you? When deities and laws of nature visit the physical realm, they gotta give up some of their power. They're more vulnerable when they're here.
Fair enough. I don't know why Death has to come here in person, though. I mean, he's in some kind of magical card tournament. That doesn't sound like something Death would do.
You know nothing about Death. He's a pretty cool cat, if you catch my drift.
She shrugged. I guess I will, when I meet him.
Yeah.
Knopf yipped.
on the Zoom call at midnight tonight.
Right. Got it. I'll be there.
You better. Now get changed into something you can move around in. My defense class will resume shortly.
You think you're qualified to teach a martial arts class?
What you trying to say? Of course I'm certified to teach it. I didn't decide I wanted to run a bodyguard agency overnight. I had to research and get my body in shape.
Maine tried not to laugh as she studied his petite toy dog frame. He did have some muscle, though. Plus, he was agile and acrobatic. I didn't know, she said. I did decide to carry on my father's detective and magical fixer business overnight. So I thought, doesn't matter. Let me go change. A polite throat clearing interrupted her, and she turned to see Al, her Cyclops butler, standing off to the side, smartly dressed in a full suit. Yes, she said.
Ah, Master Maine.
Al held up a bouquet of crystals tightly bound by a ribbon.
Another one?
Maine reached out and accepted them. They were pretty, the way they glittered. Too bad she didn't know who was sending them. She handed them back to Al. I have to practice some karate chops, so I'm prepared to bodyguard death tomorrow. Naf yipped proudly in the background as the rest of his bodyguard team lined up to resume their practice. Al took the crystals, but his single eye didn't leave Maine's face.
You have martial arts training now. I don't have that on your calendar.
She gestured dismissively. I forgot to schedule it. I also forgot to attend. I will now. She raised her voice as she glanced Knopf's way.
About that, Al sighed. You have an appointment with a potential client at the top of the hour.
Client?
Do you wish me to cancel the appointment?
It would be nice if she could do that. But her father had developed a reputation for never turning away a client, and she wanted to do the same kind of service to the town of Rainwater. If not, she'd feel guilty. No, let me get a few karate chops in, then I'll be up to the apartment.
Looking like that? Al's expression asked her.
Glancing down, she saw her wrinkled clothes. They smelled a bit, too. Then there was her hair.
Oh, and don't you forget, you have the interview at the Sacred Sourdough at 11 a.m.
Interview?
With a chap from Creature Magazine. Your write-up in the publication? You're scheduled for a 2-hour interview? You forgot, didn't you?
Ugh. She'd totally forgotten about that. Knopf, she called over the trainees' heads. I'm going to have to miss this session. Got a client to see and an interview to do.
You kidding me?
I'll get some practice in later today. Knopf shook his tiny head, clearly frustrated.
I hope you don't have a photo session, too.
Maine felt her hair. She hoped she didn't either. She turned to Al, who blinked in confirmation.
Ugh. She had barely enough time to take a quick shower and make herself look decent before the client meeting.
Then she had to get to the magazine interview. Hopefully, it was some old guy or a woman interviewing her, not some hunk. As she turned, Knopf called.
Remember, Zoom call with death. Midnight. The conference starts tomorrow. I booked a room at the conference hall.
Yeah, I got it. Chapter 3. With her hasty shower finished, Maine scarfed down a quick breakfast that Al had laid out for her. There was also a family album lying on the kitchen table. Maine quickly flipped through it. It was full of old photographs of her from when she was a baby up until she'd left for college.
Ah, yes. Al said. That is the family album you asked me to put together for you, from your father's belongings.
Maine nodded her thanks and flipped back to the front of the album. It was hard to believe she'd ever been such a tiny baby. She grew taller and larger in the photos as she turned the album's pages. In some of them, her mother held her or stood next to her. The rest of the photos seemed to be of only her. Maine stopped at a photo of her standing with a confused look on her 6-year-old face, her 2 front teeth missing. That was really fast. Maine glanced up at Al standing in the kitchen and awaiting her next command. She flipped back to the start of the album, noticing something else. Where are all the pictures of me with my dad? There are some with my mom, but I don't see any with him until after I was 6 years old. Al gave a big blink.
I haven't the foggiest. Those are all the photographs I could locate among your father's possessions.
That was odd. Her father hadn't been able to take a photo with her. What was he? Always working a case? She did love a good mystery. She'd have time to figure it out later. Okay, thanks, Maine said. I've got to hurry now.
Very well.
Al's phone beeped, and he checked it.
Ah, something I must attend to. I shall be right back.
Maine shrugged. After washing down the last of her breakfast with a glass of milk, she brushed her teeth and gave herself a quick once-over in the bathroom mirror. Then she took her seat in her office, aka the leather couch in her father's apartment living room next to the fireplace. While waiting for her potential client to knock on the door, she pulled out her cell phone. She had 3 missed calls from Sage. Damn, she must have slept right through them. It was that crazy dream's fault. She'd slept through not only Knopf's training session, but her wizard chef friend's calls. Hopefully, it wasn't anything too serious she'd missed. She played the first message.
Hey, Maine. Filming for the audition interview starts at 11 a.m. Just calling to say hi, and also to ask, am I crazy for doing this? Am I really that good a cook? Starting to feel some nerves. Oh well, call me back if you have time. See ya.
She recalled how excited Sage had been to be in the running to make it on that cooking TV show. He'd been so confident before leaving. Nerves were real, she guessed. She played the next message.
Maine, did you forget to wake up this morning or something? It's like 9:30 a.m. I'm on the set and shitting myself nervous. Filming starts in an hour and a half. Anyway, I did some meditation and breath work, but it didn't help much. I didn't think it would hit me this way. Maybe you could call me back for some words of encouragement. Hope all is well. See ya.
She played the last message.
Really could use a pep talk now. What if I forget how to cook? Oh, get it together, Sage. Get it together. Talk to you later.
Yikes. She felt a bit guilty for not being there for him. He'd do fine, though. He ran the best restaurant in town, maybe in the world, as far as she was concerned. The food at the Sacred Sourdough could put any restaurant's food to shame. She glanced at the time. It was a few minutes after 11 a.m. Was her client going to be a no-show? Since there still hadn't been a knock at the door, she called Sage. He wouldn't get the call until after he finished cooking and filming, but at least she could show that she cared.
Hey, Sage. Yes, I'm still alive. Slept in late. Almost missed a new client meeting. And I've got that big Creature magazine interview afterwards.
What are the chances that we both have interviews today?
I'm not nervous about mine, though.
Shit.
Not that you shouldn't be nervous about your interview audition. That came out wrong.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?